time. Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Hey, you know, Jesus is a pretty interesting person. You ought to get to know him if you don't know him. You see, he loves you more than you can imagine. And he has very interesting things in store for us. I have not seen, ears not heard, the things that Jesus has for us. You see, once the kingdom of God comes, we're going to have about 1,000 years on earth. There's going to be still a bunch of human beings that didn't get their bodies changed into spirit bodies. You know, and those of you that are not going to accept Jesus right now, or going to turn your backs on Jesus, are going to miss this opportunity to have your bodies changed into a spirit body. But you still will have about 3.5 years to decide on your life. And the decision should be made on this Jesus that we talk about in the King James Bible. For you see that missing death, missing eternal hell, if you want to call it that, but actually hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So whatever hell is, it's going to be put in something worse. And if you are trying to miss this, so you don't have to go to this place, which is called the lake of fire, this is not the way you get saved. You don't decide to choose Jesus because you fear going to hell. Or you don't decide to go to Jesus because he promised so many wonderful, beautiful things. If you're deciding to come to Jesus for certain kinds of reasons, for your own benefit, like miss hell or get benefits, then you're coming to Jesus for the wrong reason. If you're actually believing he's the Son of God, but you're still coming to him because of the offers that he makes, and promises, and that you get free from your sins, and you get all these benefits, a mansion, he's building a mansion for you, and as the King James Version puts it, it's a place that he's building. If you're doing accepting Jesus because you heard so many good things and that you will miss hell, then your faith is going to be very weak, because you will begin to see that it seems like hell on earth, as it were, and you will begin to wonder, what about the promises? A lot of Christians want to end up blaming God and Jesus for all their ailments. Anything bad happening, they want to blame it on God instead of trusting him. They evaluate their life based on, if you accept Jesus, it ought to be better. Go to church. We love to hear the good stuff, and the pastor pours out that good stuff. But not too often do they preach on that if you're really following Christ, it may not be as good as it sounded like that it should be. And so if you're coming to Jesus because you are wanting these benefits, then you're already having an attitude that will point you to another person that you may think is the real Jesus. And I always call him that man over there, because he's getting pretty ready. Several more years and he'll be ready. Right now, I believe he's too young. His helper is 42 years old, something like that about now, I think. And so he needs to get a little older, too. And we always like to try to put it onto the Catholic Church. And I kind of think that Catholic Church may be involved, but they don't have a candidate. They like to say it was going to be the last pope. Well, according to Catholic prophecy, we have the last pope now. I'm pretty much believing, from what I see, is that Antichrist or the false prophet will not be the Pope, because they don't have the credentials. They are going to be basically destroyed in a way, and the world loved them so much. There's a couple of ties here. Some people think that it's the United States, or then there's, it seems like generally Christians want to blame it on the Catholics, that when the destruction comes, the whole world will be mourning. And both sides have a good background and credentials about thinking that the United States would be this Babylon that gets destroyed, and also the Catholics. I think that there's a symbolism in the Catholic, the Vatican, because it deals with harming the saints. And while the United States is dealing literally in a monetary sense for the riches of the world, as it were. So when you come into Christ, your motive has to be right. Yes, you're going to miss hell. Yes, there's lots of wonderful promises. But this should not be the reason that you come to Christ. He makes a lot of these promises. You might actually see people get healed and get healed yourself. This should not be the reason you chose Christ. He forgave you of your sin. This should not be the reason that you're choosing Christ. You see, if you want a close relationship with Jesus, remember that key point. You want a close relationship with Jesus. And this is based on monetary gain or material gain, better place in heaven or something. You want to get that mansion. You want to see those streets of gold, as it were. And you don't want to go to hell. So you want to get closer to Jesus, because maybe you're thinking the closer you are, you're going to miss these and maybe get better things. That's the wrong attitude. The best type of attitude when you're coming to Christ, nothing wrong with these other things, because you're going to get them. It's a done deal. It's a fact. You are going to get the rewards in heaven. You are going to have your mansion. You're going to see those streets of gold. And you're going to live eternally. And you're going to have a body that doesn't get sick, doesn't get cold, doesn't get hungry, doesn't get all those kind of stuff. And just seem like you get the best. You know, we love to preach, you know, against pleasure like things. Well, it seems like in the description of what we're going to have is that's basically what we have. Well, heaven's going to be a lot more complex. You see, it involves the universe. It involves so much. Scientists kind of can get the idea, and I know a lot of you play scientists because you believe in that kind of stuff, and so you can imagine the infinity of space in all the different planets in the universe out there. Well, even though at the last part of the Bible it says all this is going to be melted away and a new one made, the vastness that's there, that we have this concept about God is everywhere, still exists. And so the complexity of what heaven will be is vastly different than what our concepts might think it could be. And so it will be a very exciting place. And yet these are not the reason to want to get a closer relationship to Jesus. Your attitude should be that who Jesus is, he is the Son of God, he is the truth. And he is. And so your focus is that you want to be close to him. He first loves you. So you want to love him. Your idea should be, in coming to Christ, is that he's actually interested in you. And so you want to be interested in him. It's like, you know, what we say, personal relationship. When we look at our wives or husbands, our children, and so forth, our relatives, even our friends, we don't often, we don't base this on how rich they are, now some of us do, but or if they're poor, or what car they drive. You know, if we somehow meet somebody, we grew up with them, and they become our friends, the other thing doesn't really particularly matter. We like them for who they are. The outside environment is just what we deal with and live in when we're there. And this is like with Jesus Christ. He's your best friend. So it doesn't matter all these other things. Paul says that he can live in riches or in poverty. It doesn't, whatever circumstance he finds himself in, he can do okay. It's not an issue with him. If it just happens to be that this is how this segment of his life is going, then that's how it is. You know, you turn the block and you're in your whole new life. You lose one job, you get another job. You move to one other city. You've got a whole different set of circumstances, but you still have your family. And so your relationship to Jesus is based on Jesus, not the wherewithal that he provides, as in mansions, perfectly healthy body, spirit body, all knowledge basically, or instant knowledge, and so forth and so on. You don't get to go to hell. You don't have to have any pain and suffering, sadness, heartbreak, and so forth. All this kind of stuff is gone away. We're not thinking of how we will feel, because we want to feel good based on riches and so forth. So when we're thinking of Jesus, it's Jesus and me. Then whatever else the world is, that's fine. If your attitude toward Jesus is that he is the Son of God, then you should accept this as the way that you need to live for him. And that when you accept him as Son of God, then you will know that you... Okay, my clock wasn't going. So, you come to Jesus because, you know, there's certain things that you want. You love truth. Well, Jesus is the truth. And he first loved you. There's things about Jesus. You know, we're not talking about anything sexual here, but let's get a point here. When you meet somebody to go on a date, we're not talking about the people that are looking to marry a millionaire or something like that. We're talking about, what do you want? You want to give love, and you want to be loved. Now, these things don't cost money. Yes, they do. But I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. You can love somebody in abject poverty, and you can love somebody filthy rich. There might be some conditions that make you have problems in these circumstances, which is quite stressful. But generally speaking, the point simply is, when you go out on dating, you first, you know, you look. And you see. And you either decide that this is a possibility because you're looking at the outside, and then you learn the inside. And some of you, maybe, you meet somebody, have no thought of dating or anything. But later on, because you get to know the person after a period of time, you fall in love with them. And just, you know, there's all kinds of ways how we finally get to that point where we meet the person we think we love, and sometimes we do. You know, it sometimes works out, but sometimes we have to go to the next person. But my point here is that the relationship that you're developing is not based on money. Of course, many of you do base it on these kinds of things. But generally, the concept of needing somebody because you want to be loved and you want to give love is based on two individuals, you and the other person. Then what life gives you, you both work out those things, whether it's rich, whether it's poor. Those aren't important, whether it's over there or whether it's over here. These kind of things aren't important, except that they may help you decide what you're going to be doing. The thing is, my point here is, it is the relationship that is key. When you have this concept about Jesus, that it is the relationship you have with Him that is key, then all these other things that are added are not necessarily of much concern, except that they should probably be good, or if they are seemingly bad, they are for your good. Doesn't mean that the bad things are good, it means that Jesus says He's going to make something beautiful out of your life. You know, one person says, somebody is doing one of these carpet things, you know, sticking the string in like that, and when you look at the backside, or, you know, you go out in the place where they're making rugs and stuff, if you turn over and look at the backside, it is like all kinds of mess. But you look at the front side and you get the wonderful design in there. And so, the point here being, Jesus is working with whatever might seem ugly and painful to you. He's working meticulously on these things that does not look pretty, because the other side is what you are, and that is pretty. He's working your unfinished carpet. And when you're finished, you can turn the carpet back over the front side, and you'll see that God did make something beautiful out of your life. And so when you concentrate on your relationship with Jesus Christ, then He can make something beautiful of your life, and you don't have to blame Him for everything that's bad. Still will want to blame, why are you doing this? And, you know, you just, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. But you also have to kind of keep in mind, strongly emphasized in yourself, and tell Jesus that you're just speaking in your frustrations. It's still your will, not my will, be done. I still trust you for whatever these circumstances are. If it has to be that I go to my grave and I have to live in these kind of conditions, then so be it. My relationship with you, Jesus, is I love you. It is you that I came to, not my circumstances. You need to understand when you come to Jesus, you're coming to Jesus because it is Jesus that you're coming to. You spotted Him. And how did you spot Him? The Holy Spirit kind of got your attention. Because the only way you're going to accept Jesus is the Holy Spirit drew you to Him. Otherwise, you're not going to have the slightest idea about it. You're going to have all the excuses and answers to not believe or something like that. But it's the Holy Spirit that opens your eyes to give you a true choice to accept or to reject Him. And when you are given the sight of Jesus, as it were, so you can see that He is the Christ, then, you know, you like your going around and you say, ooh, you know, I'd like to date this person. And again, I'm not talking nothing sexual here. I'm talking about when you see Jesus, you like what you see. And you want to be friends with Him and have a relationship that we always say, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal relationship, you got to kind of understand, doesn't involve material goods. If you continually think on material goods, hell, heaven, and things like that, money, and so forth, or anything in between that may take their place, which means that you're not looking at Jesus because Jesus is Jesus, you're looking at Jesus for what He can do. And if you're looking at Jesus for what He can do, then you are ripe to be deceived, tricked, and start worshiping Antichrist when the deceptions come, because he's These sections are designed for people that aren't paying attention. A lot of you love to claim to love Jesus and to put your attention on Him, but you know, the day is coming when all of this is going to be tried and tested. You're going to be run through the refiner's fire, and this is to melt every single down, every single thing about you down to the very base. You're going to be purified while you're living. And the Bible says about 1/3 will survive this. It will come through the refiner's fire, which means 2/3 of you will perish. And that takes in a lot of today's Christians. And this is why a message like this is pretty important, because you need to focus on the person of Jesus Christ rather than what He can do. Yes, He gives these promises, and it makes us happy that He's taking care of us. But those things shouldn't matter so much as Jesus. A couple minutes left here. So, when you're looking to say you love Jesus and that you're following Him and you believe in Him, you need to evaluate these things and understand that when you come to Jesus, it is the person of Jesus that you're coming to. It is not because a preacher says that if you don't know, if you're not sure if you're going to be in heaven, and if Jesus were to come tonight, well, you know something, this kind of stuff, the people that are giving this kind of invitation to come to Jesus, they're going to be paying quite a price, because they're leading people to Jesus in the wrong fashion. It is really good to teach and tell what you know of what has been revealed to you and what you understand to the best that you can about the coming days, because we need to watch and we need to know what's about to happen. What is the government doing to us? It's going to be a hard place to live in soon here on earth. But this should not be the way we accept Jesus. So keep in mind that when you're dealing with Jesus Christ, it is the person of Jesus that you're dealing with. If you want a closer walk with Jesus, think of Jesus. Not necessarily the things that you can do. Yes, you may really want to serve the Lord. And so this is something you really want to do. It's something that you've been praying to Jesus about to do. And so, but get to know Jesus Himself. Talk to Him. He's your friend. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. And that God rose You on the third day. That You died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me of my sins and come to my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the Bible, the King James Version. I have about 10 seconds here. Because all the other versions are founded in Westcott and Hoare. Study them, and you know why I say read the King James Version. Okay, see you next week.